SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Hour number two, Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. Yankees have finally gotten on the board in Oakland, Joe. It took them a little while, and it took them till the fifth, but they finally touch up J.P. Sears, and it is Aaron Judge, number 49, all rise.
Nice.
As he takes him dead center field. Ball was smoked. A three-run shot, and it is 3-0 Yankees now in the top of the fifth, Joe.
Guess what? That's his number post, remember, when he had, what did he have, 31 at All-Star?
It was 49 and a half. Yeah, that was the number.
Right, so he's one more, he gets it. But he's got to hit 70 to get the MVP. So if Trubisky starts week one and Judge hits 60, maybe I'll have three of the six for the parlay down.
Maybe.
He's probably got to hit what? He's got to break 100 to be thought about because of Ohtani pitches and hits?
Well, as you could tell, Joe, by looking at the odds, it seems like that they have come to the realization that he's the MVP this year. So
it's nice that they all did that.
You know, I didn't think they were going to because you're right. You know, he hits any pitches, so you'd figured, you know, he should just get it automatically, but it looks like, Joe, that maybe some of them at least have come to their senses. Twins lead the Giants 9-0. Padres lead the Royals 11-5, Joe. 11-5 Padres. 2-2 Cubs and the Brewers now tied, bottom of the ninth in Milwaukee. Actually, it looks like they're going to the 10th now, as the third out was just recorded. Orioles winning again, 2-0. They lead the Astros, but Astros have two on and one out in the bottom of the ninth. With Tucker up, we'll see if they can make some noise. Braves lead the Cardinals 6-1. We mentioned the Yankees 3-0 now. And the Guardians lead the Mariners 1-0 in the fourth. So what did you have with the Padre game, Joe?
I jumped in. I got a bad number. I think they gave me 16.
Well, I thought you had 14 and a half. What?
No, I hit it at 14 and a half, and they must have scored. It was something happened. I got bad lines as soon as I put the bet in. It's not my. I hit it.
So they're at 16 right now.
What do you want from me?
I'm sorry.
I know. Do I have life?
Do you have life? I mean, yeah. It's 11-5 in the seventh. I guess you have life. Why wouldn't you? Unless they just completely pack it in.
I can't get used to what they did to pack it in. I'm trying to find they have screwed up the when you place a wager where they put these things. Like when you have multiple things, I don't know. I can't.
What are you talking about, multiple things? What are you saying?
Like I have futures bets. I have the Atlanta Braves World Series, but I have multiple tickets open and I just put it in a wager and I can't find it in terms of active.
We welcome in all of our radio affiliates, Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159, Sports Map, Sports Byline. Good to have everybody with us. They do. I just saw this pop up, Joe, because I was looking for it. So that Aaron Judge number now is at 61.5, plus 370 to the over for him to what would be the American League record if he got the 62, one more than Roger Maris. Because remember, even though all those the Royd guys went nuts, Joe, they were all in the National League. McGuire, Sosa, Bonds. Sosa.
Right.
None of the guys in the American League did it. So the American League record is still 61.
Okay. All right.
So 61.5 plus 370. They've actually got a line for the Pujols one here, too, to get to 700, which is plus 920, Joe. For okay. Pujols to get to 700, if you wanted to. I mean, I know you like big plays. You like to get in on stuff like this, so.
Yeah,
in case
but,
you wanted
you
to
know.
Dabble with it. Is this just a Jersey thing? Do I not get that in New York?
I don't know.
Because I feel like I haven't seen that on my app. As you know, Joe, I use on the computer the jersey lines because there's always more. I can get that in New York, Joe.
Nice
the Albert
job,
Pujols.
Carver.
The Pujols I can get, but they don't have the judge here. Why? Is that because he's playing right now? Why do they? But that doesn't make sense. The jersey has the judge number for 61.5, and New York doesn't? Some of these rules and regulations,
right.
Joe, I just can't take them.
This is not right. This is definitely not right.
What's the matter now? What?
Yeah, it's just not right. You got to search for these things.
Well, what also bothers me, I can't do any of the player props for college football.
The player props are, I know people like them, the rah-rah and all that stuff. Oh, look.
Wow, Joe says, who cares? Joe gets down to business when it gets to college football time. Joe's playing sides. Go for the chalk, baby. Carver and Lisi. Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We keep rolling the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879 is the number. So Judge hit this 49th.
Good for him.
3-0. I need Stanton to get 2 total bases, Joe, to finish.
Giancarlo!
It would be helpful if he did. Let me ask Andrew if he would bet this. Andrew, would you bet the over 61.5 at plus 370? Do you think he's getting to 62?
I don't know, because he's had the really good year, but kind of like Stanton got hurt and stuff like that. I feel like since the All-Star break, Judge hasn't been the same player almost. And I remind you of his rookie year in 2017, it was the same thing because, you know, in the first half before the All-Star break and he won the home run derby and everything like that, he was like tearing the cover off the ball all the time and he was hitting home runs. And then after the All-Star game, everybody figured out how to strike him out. And I feel like it's kind of like the same thing. He's not as inconsistent. He's just not squaring up on the ball as well as he was earlier in the year, in May, in June, and in July before the All-Star game.
I just don't think he's getting the same pitches.
I don't think so either. And I think you can kind of tell. My gut just tells me something's off. I just can't put my finger on it. It's just like one of those weird things where it's like, you know, it looked like he was going to get 55, 56, 57 home runs, and now it's just like, well, to me, I don't even know if he's going to get to, like, you know, 50, just because of how inconsistent he was swinging the bat. Because there was how many games in a row? He had like 9 or 10 games where he didn't hit a home run.
Well,
so
I think a lot of it had to do with Stanton not being there. I think that they kind of were talking about it on the broadcast last night. I think it made a difference. He was being pitched differently, and instead and he did kind of go with it. He walked a lot during those four weeks, whatever it was that Stanton was out.
Yeah.
So he didn't chase and didn't, you know, look completely awful at the plate. But you're right, he looked different. But I also think he was getting pitched differently during that stretch.
Well, it kind of goes along the lines of, too, when Mark Teixeira was first signed by the Yankees and A-Rod wasn't in the lineup for the first month and a half, like, Teixeira couldn't hit anything. But then the second A-Rod came back into the lineup, it was kind of like his safety blanket. So he got to see better quality pitches, and now it's kind of the same thing. So we'll see. My only question is, do you think there's enough time for him to get that many home runs? Because he's at 49 right now. It's a lot. I know there's still a month of baseball left, but still.
Now, he's got double-digit homers in every month except this one.
Mm-hmm.
August is the only month, and he's got, what, now 3 this week that actually gets him to what? Give me 1 second, Andrew. Let me just bring this up, because he had like 10, 11, or 12 in every single month so far, and this was the one month where he was trending below it. Here we go, game log. He now has 7 in August.
Okay.
So, and he's still got what, a week left? A little less than a week, right? When's the first? Is there Tuesday, Wednesday? When's the 1st of September? Soon. Or is it actually Thursday, right? Thursday, because that's the Penn State Purdue game, right, Joe? Penn State Purdue is September 1st.
Yes, sir.
So he's got 1 week left, Andrew, in August, and he's got 7 in the month. He could still get to double digits in August if he got 3 in the next week, which isn't impossible for him.
Well, it's not impossible specifically based on who they're playing, too. They're playing the Oakland Athletics and the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
They're the Anaheim Angels. You had it right the first time, Andrew. You had it right the first time. They're the Anaheim Angels.
Yes. It's possible, and it helps because it's who he's playing against.
What does he need to be at by September 15th? He'll have 2.5 weeks to go because the season ends, what, October 3rd?
Yeah.
I think he's got to be at 50, over, definitely more than 55, right?
Yeah.
I think he's got to be between 55 and 57 by September 15th to have a legit chance. I hope he does it. I hope he does it, too. That'll be great. And he sticks it in their face from before the season.
Yeah, his farewell tour before he goes across to Queens.
You know how I feel about the way the Yankee organization. 3 for 3 for the kid now. Another hit for Cabrera. 3 for 3 for the kid. You know how I feel about the front office, Andrew.
Listen, the only thing I'll say about this whole Judge thing and Carver, to me, the Derek Jeter documentary thing on ESPN was a real eye-opener because for a couple of reasons. Number one, it talked about a lot of the old heads that the Yankees had and how they were treated when they left, right?
Yeah.
Bernie Williams talked about how he was treated and how he wasn't good. Jorge Posada said the same thing. And you could go down the line of guys that left the organization who meant a lot to the fans and everybody in New York. It just they didn't mean anything to Brian Cashman. And when I kind of heard that, it kind of made me realize, now I'm 100% convinced that Aaron Judge isn't going to be a Yankee next year.
Yeah.
You take the most significant player, the most, you put the words franchise player on this guy since Derek Jeter, and this is how you're going to treat him. No wonder he doesn't want to stay in this. No wonder he doesn't want to stay in New York, or he doesn't want to play for the Yankees.
Let's not get crazy now, Andrew.
Well,
I mean, they gave him a boatload of money. I mean, you know, money solves everything.
Yeah, but they didn't. It was a low ball offer for him, Joe. It was a low ball offer.
Was it?
It was a low ball.
Was
offer.
It really? He was the highest paid Yankee.
Yeah, that sounds nice on the surface, but you got to look around everywhere else in the league. And see what some of these guys are getting. I'll say this.
Corey Seager got $300 million.
Yeah. Look, I think that he is going. I think at the end of the day, he's going to be back with the Yankees.
Really?
But I think he's going to really hold him over to Coles. In terms of, I think he's going to go get offers from other teams. I think he's going to play the game in the press with. You know, Mets offer him 12 years at $460 million. Like he's gonna play the game where he's gonna make the Yankees absolutely sweat, and he's gonna make Hal get every single last penny out of his pocket to sign.
We've talked about this all the time. The Yankees, they didn't go out and they didn't sign. Like I understand, they traded for Stanton and they signed Cole to big contracts and whatever. But they didn't go out and get Harper or Machado. They didn't go out this past season and get anybody like we talked about with Corey Seager or any of the other free agents that are out there. If they're not spending the money on anybody else, what are they waiting for? And I originally thought it was, they're going to sign Judge because that makes sense because he's the only guy that's left. But they didn't do that. And every single time that they have opportunities to do things, to spend money like the Yankees always do, they don't. And I don't understand what the problem is. I'm at a loss. I really am.
Well, we shall see. I think at the end of the day he'll be back. I don't believe, but he's going to make them sweat, that's for sure. Joe, I know you're getting in a cold sweat. We didn't talk football that whole segment. I know that you're getting there, but I got good news for you, Joe. You want to know what that is?
What?
For the rest of the show, the whole rest of the way, it's a football show. It is week 0. preview. I've asked you three times to tell me a couple teams that you want to look at their totals before they come off the board tomorrow. You haven't done that yet. So
what do you mean for just tomorrow? It's
you can't play any of these totals after tomorrow. So if you wanted to give anybody one last look at something they need to get in tonight before they come off the board tomorrow,
in the break.
All right, and then we're going to go through every game, Joe, and give some picks, give some selections for week zero. Are we starting official this week? Are we like...
Yeah, why not? And then we should give out our three best totals, unders and overs.
Earlier next week, I thought. I thought we're doing that leading into the first real week. Okay. We're doing that first real week.
All right.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back on the grid right after this.
A sports gamer who relies on luck never makes the same mistake twice.
It's usually three or more times.
We're the home of the winning edge. This.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. Rocking with you here on the grid. Getting ready for, 13 hours till college football season gets underway. It's actually, Joe, I know that everybody thinks that Northwestern and Nebraska is the start of the college football season. It's actually Western Kentucky.
I know.
At noon against an Austin Peay. I mean, God.
12:30.
No, that's in high noon kickoff.
No, yeah, I know, that's, but 12:30 is Nebraska. People think it's 12 o'clock. It's not. It's 12:30.
So there you go, Joe. So actually the Hilltoppers get things going.
Yeah, Austin Reed supposedly gets the start for Western Kentucky. They had Jared Dagey on there. He transferred out. There's another guy. Went from
isn't that where Zappi was last year, where he threw 6,000 yards and threw the ball all over the place But didn't the coaches leave that run all that crazy system? Didn't they all leave?
Not all of them.
They all got jobs.
Four or five assistants went on.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. It's tough.
So we think they're gonna run the same crazy? Because you know who they play next week in week two. They make the trip to Hawaii.
Yeah, they're 11.5-point favorites already.
Yeah. You know Hawaii like.
Hawaii. You're just going to bet Hawaii every
game. Not every week.
I will say this, Carver. I believe that that's a perfect spot for Hawaii, assuming that the cap goes right tomorrow and Vanderbilt wins and they win convincingly. The biggest progression happens from week one to week two with a new head coach. So assuming Western Kentucky abuses Austin Peay, I might back Hawaii with you in that spot, 11.5. We might even be able to get maybe 12.5, 13.
Wow. We shall see. Before we get – we'll finish up with the games for tomorrow in the next segment. Let's just try to run through. If there's any totals you like, win totals for the season, because those will be gone, Joe. Once the team plays their game, stuff like winning the conference does stay up. The numbers just adjust depending on how teams win and lose. Right. So I'm more concerned about the win totals. Is there anything? Who do you like? Give me the one tomorrow that maybe you want to play.
Well, there's three.
So okay, give me who you like.
Under Nebraska, I'm not buying into the 7.5. I told you
okay.
Why. I just need to see it before it happens. Love KC Thompson. Think he's the best quarterback in Nebraska history over the last 10 to 15 years, but I'm not sold on this whole team as a whole with Scott Frost. So they might – I think they get to a bowl, but I think 7-5 tops. That's the pinnacle of the season, which would be an under. I'm on the over in Vanderbilt. I told you, I think they could get this total in the month of September, assuming that they get over – assuming that they get the win tomorrow, they face Elon in week number three, followed by Northern Illinois and Wake now without Sam Hartman. So those are three of their first four games in the month of September: Hawaii, Elon, an FCS opponent, and Wake without Sam Hartman. So you got Michael Kern and Mitch Griffiths for Wake. Very inexperienced quarterbacks.
And what's their number? 4.5?
2.5.
Oh, 2.5?
Yeah.
2.5.
No, I booked it at 2.5. I don't. It might not. Let me see exactly where it is.
It's probably still there, Joe. Although maybe it might have changed a little bit with the Wake Forest stuff.
I got +140 to the over when I booked it. But
it's still 2.5 +100 to the over.
Yeah, +100.
Is there any? And then it's all SEC games after that.
Yeah,
right?
But Missouri they could beat.
All right.
So you got four
man,
shots.
You hate that guy over there at Missouri. You Griffiths. Can't stand him either.
Do you like him?
Yeah, he's like on the super leasy fade list too. Like he's getting close to like cracking the top five on the.
Do you
super
like
leasy
him? You didn't answer my question.
No, I don't.
I bet against him two times last year, Tennessee and Arkansas. I killed him both times. Tennessee ran for like 400 yards on that front seven. That was the game where Tennessee was getting 2.5 points or. I think they were getting 2.5. They absolutely. Oh, Hendon Hooker was. Whoop, whoop, whoop. They let up like 7 yards a carry every time there was a volunteer breaking, busted out of a cannon.
Hendon Hooker. There he is. I'm gonna play. I love playing the low ones too. You know that. I'm gonna take the over for UConn. Here's why, Joe.
Okay.
They've got two games that I think they should win, which is Central Connecticut State at home. God, they better win that game. and I think that they could beat UMass. They lost to UMass last year. I think they could beat UMass at home this year.
All right.
Two games there. So they only gotta get me one. Okay. Out of all these other games, if they take care of business. And like I said, Mora brought in a lot of transfer talent. They're going to be better than last year.
You better be right on this bet tomorrow.
And there's games here.
Info. All right,
there's games here. Maybe they could get maybe Ball State, maybe FIU, maybe Syracuse at home. If Syracuse, because Syracuse ain't that great.
No, Dino Babers is 29-43 in his 6 years at Syracuse.
So I think that the over 2.5 for UConn is actually worth a sneeze.
You might get me in on that before this. I can't believe what you're
saying. I kind of like it. I really do.
All right, so here's the other one before we forget. I just want to get it out there.
Yeah.
You know I like them to win the conference. Utah State. You're telling me Utah State, that was 8-0 on the road last year. With Logan Bonner, okay? They beat San Diego State. They beat Boise. They beat San Jose State. They beat Oregon State on a neutral field. They beat Air Force, okay? All on the road. Logan Bonner and Legault, the backup that was throwing, he was rolling sevens in that bowl game against Oregon State. You're telling me there's going to be a four-game regression from last year, or Utah State can't get over 6.5 wins? Six and a half. I'm taking the over. Are you kidding me?
Well, yeah.
6.5. They have 7 starters coming back on defense, 6 on offense, and you're telling me with the starting quarterback coming back?
Here's the funniest part about this, Joe, and I'm looking at this, and I have the look ahead lines or whatever on each team's schedule.
Right.
Utah State, according to this, would be favored in 8 of their games. Favored in 8 of their games, and their win total is 6.5.
And I just took them. That's enough for me.
Yeah. Now, I'm not the biggest Utah State guy, but because, I mean, I'm fading them the first 2 weeks. But I'm fading, you know, obviously, I don't think they're going to lose to Connecticut tomorrow. I just like all the sticks.
Right.
And I do think they're not going to cover against Alabama. But Weber State, Connecticut, Weber State, that's 2. UNLV is 3. You know, BYU, they're going to lose that game. They'll beat Colorado State 4, Wyoming 5, New Mexico 6, Hawaii, Game's on the road, though, Joe. They got to go to the islands in mid-November.
They might.
Look, they'll get another game. Listen, this is a good. I like that. This is a good over, Joe.
All right.
It's so a good over.
I talked you into one. You're with me. You're riding with
it's,
me for a
it's
change.
It's a good over. I like Pitbull.
As Pitbull and Zach Brown says, let's ride. Let's
I'm
go.
I'm gonna put it in. I like it. I think that this is. I can get behind this.
All right, good.
Can I get you in on Hawaii at 4.5?
No,
probably not.
I can't. You can't get me in on Hawaii. I'm hoping they come out of the gate 0-1.
See, the thing with Hawaii is I need them to win this game tomorrow to probably get it. Now, they got winnable games at home. I mean, Nevada and Wyoming, they can beat at home. And UNLV. All three of those teams go to Hawaii. They can win those three games, Joe. They have Duquesne coming to them. That's 4. New Mexico State on the road, they can win that game too.
You got me searching for a Duquesne line. I think Florida State puts up 70 on them
tonight. I saw 47.
I know. I saw 40, somebody said. Yeah. Is it 47 or 40?
I saw 47 before.
Hang on. I'm searching. I'm looking through the books. I'm looking.
Now, hopefully tomorrow morning, Joe, when you get a little closer to game time, everybody, like all the books will kind of put them up. They don't want to put those games up too early.
No, I have them.
Who has them?
2.5 for Florida State. I'm laying.
Yeah, I don't like that. I'd rather lay North Carolina.
I'm not doing it. I think Mac Brown might have a – keep in mind, he's a nice guy.
What's the UNLV line?
I just had it. Just let me log in.
21.5. 21.5. I like it. I think UNLV is going to whack them.
Just hang on, Bubby. Give me a second. I'm matriculating through. Got a lot of stuff to get through before week zero here. This isn't like, a lot of stuff here. So Austin Peay is 27.5 point dogs.
Okay.
Right? Idaho State is 24.5. This is all in Jersey. Wyoming, you get 14. 14. It's back up to 14. Shop around.
Jeez. All right, Joe. We'll run through every game to give some picks here for week 0 college football season. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio. 844-843-6879 is the number. As the Yankees still with a – check that. Make that a 3-1 game now. Was 3-0 until about 15 seconds ago when Cole gave up his first run of the night. Jonah Bride with the solo homer to left. So it's a 3-1 now in the seventh. Yankees lead the Athletics out at the Ashtray. All right, Joe, it is time for the first time this year. Our college football picks for the weekend. Week 0. Friday night football picks, Joe. Are you ready? I think for this week, since there's really only 7 games of consequence, we pick all 7 games.
All right, let's go.
Okay. We're not picking the dopey games with Duquesne and Florida State and all those.
No. All right,
we're not going to pick those. If you like any of them, you can tell.
I like Florida State. I'm laying it.
I like North Carolina, and I like UNLV. There you go. We started off Dublin, 12:30 East, Nebraska, and Northwestern, the Emerald Isle Classic. Northwestern wearing these tremendous helmets with the Irish flag in the end there. Now at -10.5 for the Huskers, 51.5 the total. For two things, Joe, who do you like, and do you think it'll move more probably one way or the other by kickoff tomorrow afternoon?
No, I think we're going to settle in right around 10. So I'm taking the 10.5. I have it higher, but it's still over 10. I would take and lean to Northwestern. Line open up at 8.5. We know that. I'll throw a key statistic out. Nebraska rushed for 427 on them last year, 56-7 domination. 7 times Northwestern allowed opposing offenses to rush for over 200. They were 0-7 in those games. Lost those by 26.7 points per game. But in a revenge spot, Patty Fitz with 6 months of preparation, new offensive scheme, and Scott Frost, his inability to win a big game, I'm taking the points.
I'm taking the points as well. I don't care how badly they beat him up last year, Joe. I just cannot lay points with Scott Frost in Nebraska. I just can't do it, especially in a game taking place on the other side of the world where who knows, what's going on over there. This is Northwestern to me.
Yep.
I don't really care about. I don't really feel the total, Joe, one way or the other. I lean to the under as well. I feel like, if you like Northwestern, Joe, you like the under, right? Yeah. I mean, that's kind of
you can't get into a shootout with them. You cannot.
I feel like if Northwestern's going to be in this and they cover, you know, the game's in the low 20s, maybe to keep it in the high teens. You know, that's kind of where Northwestern's going to want this to be. And if Nebraska covers, Joe, I still think it could be an under. It might be a game like last year, maybe just not getting a 56, you know, so.
Remember the kicker missed the extra point?
Yeah.
Hit the crossbar, that hump.
So we both like Northwestern over in the Emerald Isle. Wyoming visits our boy Brett and the Fighting Illini of Illinois in Champaign. This number has also pinballed back and forth. At the present moment, Joe, 13.5. For the Fighting Illini, 42.5, the low total of the weekend.
Again, both teams mirror each other. Now, Wyoming's supposed to go with Andrew Peasley. He started at Utah State a couple of years ago. He's mobile. They rushed for 211 on the ground last year with Titus Swen. They're both eerily similar. I like Wyoming's secondary. They give up a 189 to opposing quarterbacks. I'm not sold on DeVito. And this offense last year for Illinois Carver, last seven games of the regular season, they only averaged 134 on the ground. I mean, they were completely one-dimensional. And whether they put in Sikowski or for DeVito if he's struggling, they both suck. So give me the points. This line was 9.5, and they bet it up immediately. Now, I'm telling you, there's information that people think is going to be important, like two players are out, somebody has, bad stomach and cramps, and they've been in the bathroom all for the last 24 hours, and that's why this line. I don't care. I'm taking Wyoming. I think they could potentially be in striking distance in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, look, I think the line's telling you the right thing here, Joe. I think that Illinois is going to smoke this team. I think that this is going to be ugly, and ugly from the aspect that I just don't think Wyoming's going to score anything. I think that I told you earlier, 24-3, 27-7, something in that area. I think that, look, even though you said they didn't run the ball, whatever, you saw Illinois take some small baby steps last year with Brett now running the show. And I think they come back this year, first game, and he still kind of, you know, gives those good vibes off to the athletic department and the fan base there. Yeah. And he does it in style by beating up on Wyoming at home.
Plus, he's your guy. He's your type of guy. He drinks the beer.
He's got a little bit of a belly.
Now,
I don't like DeVito. I think he stinks. But you know what? Wyoming stinks too. So I think that Illinois finds a way. Anything under 14, Joe, I'm willing to lay. 14 may be a little tricky, but anything under 14, I'm firing away with the Illinois Fighting Illini.
Okay.
Next, let's go to Utah State and Connecticut. We've talked about this a lot. This is down to 26.5. 59.5 is the total. I told you, Mora brought in a lot of transfer talent. I'm taking the 26.5 with UConn.
I'm on this with you. This is strictly there's two reasons why I'm betting. One, because of your so-called inside info.
Well, I don't think it's inside info.
Know what I mean. Somebody close to the program, not inside, but it's info that maybe a lot of people don't know about. So we're running with it. Coupled with the fact that Utah State has Alabama on deck. I know that they're the better team on paper. They should win. I just don't know if they show everything playing at home. They were a much better road team than they were home. I think they win, but they don't cover. So I'm with you. I'm already sitting on a 27.5 ticket. So let's ride with this one.
And this is the first total I really like, Joe. I like the under. I think 59.5 is a little heavy here. It's a little heavy.
I like
the under.
I don't
in this
like
game.
Either way. I don't have because I'm not sold on Connecticut. you know?
Okay. Yeah. So. Well, look, I just, you know, I think 59 and a half is a little heavy.
All right.
Okay. Night game, 7 o'clock Eastern kick down in Boca for Charlotte and Florida Atlantic. Of course, Nikosi Perry and the crew. Minus 7.5. I saw this get to 6.5 earlier today, Joe. Back up to 7.5.
Yep.
59.5 also for this game. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to stay away from a side. Once again, I'm playing the under. Under 59.5 for me here. We're Florida Atlantic and Charlotte.
Yeah, and you know what? It's a good call. 50% thunderstorms could be a wet track. If so, that might affect the game plan for Charlotte. But I think this is one of my better bets. I like the 49ers here. You know, it's a revenge spot. They lost 38-9 week number 7. Not sold on Taggart. Not sold on Nikosi Perry. I think Will Healy's a good coach. I think he's got the best quarterback in the matchup with Chris Reynolds. 26 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Victor Tucker and Grant DuBose, both of his top wide receivers are there. Those guys combined, 113 in terms of receptions, over 1,500 yards, 8 touchdowns. They have, in my opinion, the more complete offense. Inexperience in the secondary. I'm not sold on the rushing game of FAU this year. Give me the points. I like them plus 230 on the money line. I think they could win this ball game outright as long as the track isn't that wet. If it's a monsoon, all bets are off, but I'm still on them, plus 7.5, and I'm going to be taking them on the money line as well.
All right, you're on Charlotte. I'm on the under 59.5 there in Boca. North Texas and UTEP at one of your favorite places, the Sun Bowl.
Yeah,
minus 1.5 for the Mean Green. 54.5 is the total. I'm on the Miners, Joe. Liked how they took a little bit of a step last year. They became a competitive team. They're at home. Lost a close game to this team last year. Give me UTEP at home here, getting to 1.5.
Here's the thing. Two solid quarterbacks, Gavin Hardiston for UTEP on Dana Dimmel's crew and Austin Ahn. You know how old the North Texas quarterback is? 29. He played 6 years of professional baseball. So keep an eye out for that. Both solid front sevens. North Texas allowed 152. UTEP only 135. But I'm going to go the other way. It's a sold-out Sun Bowl, and you know how I feel about that, right? You saw the tweets today.
Yeah.
First sellout and biggest crowd since the Sun Bowl when Arizona State and Duke played with Anthony Boone, okay? And Duke covered the 7.5, 8-point number. That was with Jamison Crowder. They covered that. 47,000 in attendance. But think about this. I'm going over. I think this game last year was 20-17. I love the over 54.5. I booked it already.
Wow. How about that, Joe? You booked it already. Look at you. All right. So I'm on UTEP, and there you go with you. Let's move here. We're going to run out of time. Nevada and New Mexico State. There's been some movement with this, not recently, but throughout since this line has come out. Open 12.5. I think you even told me it was even more than that. At one point,
so 13
and down to 8.5. Nevada road favorite at New Mexico State, who, as we know, Joe, they've been awful for a long time now. At home, they're all pumped up there on campus because they never get national TV games. They got one here coming tomorrow night. It seems like a nice story. Nevada's been cleaned out. The coach is gone. Their quarterback is gone. Their wide receiver is gone. Everybody's gone. But, man, it's tough to back New Mexico State, Joe.
I'm with you. Now, I'll just say this. Did this line move because Nate Cox, the starter to be for Nevada, got a DUI? I don't know, but I don't care. I'll tell you this. No, he didn't get it recently. He got it like a month ago, and they thought. But the backup is Shane Inglewirth. He started at Oklahoma State 2 years ago when Spencer Sanders went down week one against Tulsa. The kid is okay. I'll take my chance. I think Nevada wins this ballgame easily. I like Kevin Wilson over Jerry Kill in terms of the coaching advantage. Jerry Kill's a good coach. No talent. They might be starting a redshirt freshman at quarterback for New Mexico. I'm taking Nevada.
I'm on the over, Joe, 47.5. Give me points tomorrow night out there in New Mexico State. And I'll probably go to the Wolfpack as well. You can't put money on New Mexico State. You just can't do it. And finally, Joe, the late night game, our first one, 10:30 p.m. Eastern kickoff out on the islands. Vandy and Hawaii, the Timmy Chang era begins. out there. 9.5 for Vandy now. 54.5 the total. I think we know where we both are, Joe. That's for
yeah,
sure.
I'm taking Vandy. You know the reasons. I told you 9,000 fans in attendance, one starter on defense. Everybody talks about the spread perspective for Hawaii. Vandy won 4 straight against the number down the stretch. Year 2 is usually the biggest progression. I'm on Vandy at -6.5. I'm not backing down now. If I had to bet it right now, if you said, Joe, bet it at 9.5, I'm laying it. I think they win by 14 or more. How about that?
I'm on Hawaii getting the 9.5. I'm on the over 54.5. And I will even sprinkle Hawaii plus the 290 for the money line.
You know, you're rotten.
They will win this game outright, Joe. 34-31.
Now you're putting
Hawaii beats Vandy. Late night wild game on the islands to start off your college football season. This will be, Joe, the best game tomorrow. Vandy and Hawaii. This will be the best game of the day. Not hard to do with this card. Not hard to do with this card. But this will be the best game of the day. The Vandy-Hawaii game in the late night hours. All right, Carver and Lacey, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We'll come back, wrap this puppy up right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. Good to have you with us as we head into the weekend. Joe, tomorrow morning, we got college football today?
Yeah, college football.
Getting ready for a new season? Let's go.
9 to 12 tomorrow. 9 to 12.
Wow.
All pumped up.
Good. Go through all the games, get everybody ready for the day?
No, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. This is what it is. You know, pumped up, the revamped edition.
Revamped, huh?
Revamped.
Wow. How about that?
Think about that. What do you think about that, Carver? How about that, the revamped?
Sounds good, Joe. Have fun, you and the boys in the morning.
Well, what's your cutoff tomorrow? Like what's, like, communication is like, I could contact you till like 1:30 in the morning. Are you gonna?
I hope I make it to that. I hope so. We'll see how the day goes.
Second quarter in Vandy.
I might try to catch some Z's at some point, so that way I'm up for a good portion of the Vandy game. It's hard with the kids, so there's no way for me to know what tomorrow night holds. But I will definitely be watching some of it, Joe. Believe me, I'm gonna try to stay up for as much as I can.
All
There's
right.
no doubt in my mind.
As long as you're up and you're ready, that's all that matters. That's all that matters.
It's the Dave. first bailout blowout late night game of the year. How can I not be
I'm
ready for
you,
that?
I'm lobbying for Sports Grid. If you're listening, we want to be in Provo, Baylor, BYU, September 10th.
How about Vegas for that BYU Irish game?
Oh, that you could go to, but you can't go to the October 22nd game, ULM and Army.
Oh, is that is that October 22nd, the Irish BYU game?
I think it's the 8th.
Oh, all right, there you go. Joe, have a good weekend. Enjoy the first college football Saturday of the year. Great job by Andrew Torres. Carver and Lisi, cash a bunch of tickets with the football. We'll see you Monday night right back here on the grid.